I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Ray Argyle joins me again. The author has just published his debut novel, An Act of Injustice. It's based on the true stories of Rosanna Leppard and Cook Teats, real people in the era of Victorian Canada. From there, the story takes off, and I'll get Ray to tell us what happens in his book. There are various themes, of course, romance, justice, equality. There's a courtroom drama, murder mystery, and a view onto the Canada of the era, all its politics and mores. Ray Argyle has been a journalist, publishing executive, and communications consultant. He's written numerous books, including five biographies of historical figures like Scott Joplin, Charles de Gaulle, and Joey Smallwood, among others. The website for more is at rayargyle.com. This new book is published by Mosaic Press. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program from Kingston, Ontario, Ray Argyle. Mr. Argyle, good morning.
Oh, hello, Joseph. Thank you very much. You've given me a lot to talk about in that introduction.
So this is the first novel. Let's start there. After writing nonfiction all these years, why the novel?
Well, Joseph, the reason is that I discovered the story of Rosanna Leppard and Cook Teats while I was researching wrongful hangings in Canada. I discovered, first of all, that there'd been quite a number of them. And secondly, I found out that there's not a lot of historical record about these two people, Rosanna, the beautiful young bride, who is poisoned by strychnine at the age of 25, only 6 weeks after her wedding, and her husband, Cook Teats, a much older man, who is charged with her murder. Other than the basic facts of their existence, her death, his trial, there was really only the skeleton of their lives. So I turned to fiction to add flesh to the bones, imagining the lives they would have led at that time, late in the 19th century, in Victorian Canada, in an area called of Ontario, called the Queen's Bush, where new settlers were struggling to make a go of it, in an area of Ontario that borders on Georgian Bay. Especially in Grey County. But I've cast their story in a broader context, life in this country leading up to the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the period that shaped much of the Canada we know today.
Yeah.
And in the book, readers will meet historic figures as well as fictional characters. So I think they'll get the flavor of the times.
Yeah, it's a very different country than it is today. I mean, you talk of this area, the Queen's Bush, that was largely undeveloped at that time, right?
It was indeed. There had been crown land available, 50-acre grants for the early arrivals, but many of the issues that people dealt with, particularly racial intolerance, and religious prejudice, you know, there are issues that are still with us today. So I think that there's a lesson in this book for us today. And of course, there's a love triangle in An Act of Injustice, and
mm-hmm.
that has to play itself out. And so the book follows Rosanna's first lover, the newspaper man, Leonard Babington,
mm-hmm.
who's our protagonist, and it turns out that he has a 20-year odyssey to find the real killer. So it's a combination of a murder trial, a murder case, a love story, and perhaps a bit of a study of life in Victorian Canada.
So we largely know the Victorian era from what we've seen or read of the English. Is it much the same in terms of the attitudes in Canada at that time?
My sense is that Canadian attitudes were fixed at that time in a very narrow, almost mean sort of context. there was a great apprehension of any public discussion of sex or any public suggestion of sex, and yet there was a lot of sex going on, of course, as there always has been, and always will be. The people who were the objects of racial discrimination primarily were the Irish, because there was a large and important component of Irish immigration to Canada in the latter half of the 19th century, following the potato famine in Ireland, but they were not well accepted. Most were ill-educated, and of course they followed the Catholic religion, which contrasted and conflicted with the dominant Anglican and other Protestant religions in Ontario. So the Irish had a difficult time. And our victim, Rosanna Leppard, is a girl from an Irish mother and an English father, and they're living in very dire circumstances on a property that is not really very productive in Grey County, and so they're not having a happy time. But Rosanna seems to make up for that by having frequent affairs with various men, one of which is the newspaper man Leonard Babington, yeah. And the other, finally, the husband, Cook Keats.
Yeah. So when you look at this place in this era, does the book take us to places like Toronto and Ottawa?
Indeed it does, because we follow Leonard in his odyssey. He leaves the Queen's Bush. He goes to Ottawa. He hopes to get some help from the Department of Justice. He finds out how politics is done in Ottawa in the early years after Confederation, and then he moves on to Toronto. And in Toronto, when the second half of the book is largely set in Toronto in the years from about 1885 to 1904. Leonard gets work on the Toronto Telegram. He starts out as a crime reporter. He discovers what is meant by Toronto the Good. Mm. The mayor at the time that Leonard begins work on the Toronto Telegram is anxious to close down the bars, or at least shut them down by 7 o'clock, so that, in Leonard's words, the workmen will be able to get back to their jobs the next morning with clear heads and be able to do a good day's work. Leonard discovers that Rosanna's mother has been committed to the insane asylum in Toronto, and this gives us an opportunity to look into the lives of people in the Toronto Insane Asylum of that era, where, in fact, there was a very enlightened and progressive supervisor, Dr. Clark. We meet him because the book is a mix of historical characters and fictitious figures. We meet a lot of genuine historical characters, and Leonard meets a girl who he discovers as being wrongfully held of the Toronto Insane Asylum. So that adds another layer to the plot, that while he's trying to find out who killed Rosanna Leppard, because he's convinced that Cook is innocent of the charge for which he's been convicted, he's convinced that Cook is innocent. He finds that Rosanna's mother is confined to the mental institute. He wants to talk to her. While meeting with her, he discovers the matter of this other girl, Kathleen, who is confined in the asylum. So we have a complex of issues working their way out as he struggles to find a path to solving the crime. Mm. All the while carrying a lot of self guilt, because he feels that perhaps he's really responsible for what's happened to Rosanna.
Yeah. Well, was it fun for you, Ray, to find these real characters, and then because you didn't know much about them, to fill out their lives, but also to write about real people in the era, historical figures.
Yes. Indeed it was, Joseph, because I have to confess that ever since I found out about this case, I've just ached to tell the story. And it's taken me 7 years to work my way through all of the issues involved, first of all, in chronicling a coherent story of two victims of injustice, and of a young man who is finding his own difficult way in life. So it's been a challenge to draw all those threads together, and of course, being my first work of fiction, it's been doubly a challenge to master the storytelling techniques of plot and dialogue. So it's been a great challenge, and now I have a great sense of relief at having finished the story, but I'm still living with my characters, and I'm sure I always will.
Yeah, they're so rich how you draw these characters out in the book I'll bet they still remain with you. Would you talk, Ray, about what the book says about the justice system and after writing the book and doing the research that you've done, not only of that era, but knowing what you know about recent history, say, what you might want to say about how our justice system works?
I'd like to say a few words about that, Joseph, because when I finished the novel, I felt that I needed to say something about how all of the history of the justice system in Canada impacts on what we have today. We have a lot of problems with our justice system still. I think we need to begin from the perspective that the primary purpose of the justice system is the protection of the public. And we need to ask ourselves, and this was the question I asked myself when I'd finished writing the book and I'd completed the research. I had talked to judges, I had talked to lawyers, medical experts, and the question that I still had was, are we really operating and conducting the justice system in the way that works the best in the interest of the public, or are we getting hung up on retribution and revenge? Emotions that, bring temporary satisfaction. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, I think lessen rather than strengthen the protection of the public. So I've written a postscript, which is at the end of the book, of course. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was struck by in my research was that on any given day in this year of 2017, there are close to 40,000 people in Canada's jails. It's costing us about $5 billion a year to do this. And a third of all of those who are in confinement at any given day, a third of them have not been convicted of anything. They're waiting for trial, sometimes for years. And we've seen lately what a scandal this has become, how this has attracted a lot of attention, and which I know governments are trying to do something to correct. But, I wanted to look at the 25,000 people, the 25,000 inmates who have been tried and convicted and sentenced to jail and are now serving time at a cost individually to the public of about $100,000 a year. Now, certainly there are people who were sufficiently dangerous that they need to be confined, some mm-hmm. indefinitely.
Yeah.
But about three-quarters of the charges that courts deal with every year in Canada are for nonviolent crimes. Everything from driving impaired to drug possession, minor larceny, minor property crimes, minor fraud and forgery, simple assault. Most of them, in my view, my conclusion after, you know, having immersed myself in these issues for the last 7 years, is that most of them shouldn't be in jail. I don't think society is well served by putting these kinds of offenders in jail. Imprisonment doesn't serve as a deterrent, often because most of the offenders have serious emotional and mental problems that are never addressed and can't be addressed by the correction system. And, of course, we know that 25% of the prison population is made up of indigenous people.
Right.
And they make up only 4% of the population. So we've got a serious problem there, and imprisonment is not solving it. So I think that rather than resorting to these dead-end jail sentences, we need to make more use of alternatives. And there are a number of alternatives. You can start with fines. But the most important, I think, is what is known as conditional sentences. And these are sentences where people can serve their time in the community under supervision. And I think this is where judges need to put greater emphasis. For a number of years, we had the Harper government imposing mandatory minimums.
Right.
And conditional sentences are not allowed under mandatory minimums. So we have to get rid of those mandatory minimums and let judges rule as they should and let them make the punishment fit the individual as well as the crime. So I think that there is a way to deal with this. I think we can deal more effectively than just warehousing people in prison cells.
And politically, do you see the will to do so from this current federal government, Mr. Trudeau's government?
Yes, I think they're making some real progress. The problem, of course, is that there's not a lot of popular support for criminal reform, for prison reform. We still have a lot of, lock them up and throw away the key.
Yeah.
Sort of thinking. We need to get around that, and we need to, put more emphasis on mental health treatment rather than just imprisonment.
Your book is a great way for us, Ray, to think about the past, and we're doing a lot of that, especially this year as we celebrate the 150th year of Canada. The 150th anniversary of Confederation. Well, what are some of the things that you're thinking about, Ray, as someone who has written books not only of historical figures but of history, who knows this country as well as you do? What are the things that we ought to be thinking about in this 150th year?
I think our number one domestic problem is the plight of the indigenous population. Europeans and people from other parts of the world moved into the territory of what the indigenous called Turtle Island and exploited its wealth and its richness. And we owe a great obligation and a great duty to ensure that the original inhabitants of this territory share equitably in the wealth that we've been allowed to exploit. So I think that's our number one problem domestically. I think that our second challenge is to successfully integrate all groups into our multicultural society. I very strongly believe in multiculturalism, because I believe everyone has an inborn right and privilege to be of themselves and to reflect their heritage in their lives. Of course, we all must obey and adhere to Canadian values. I think that's a given. I don't think we need to write new laws or make new tests on that subject that's so obvious. That we all need to do that. And finally, I think we need to be very careful of how we position ourselves in the world and ensure that we don't get caught up in more of the kinds of regional wars that plagued the world in the past.
Yeah. It's there's so much in this book to talk to you about, Ray. I could talk to you all afternoon. It's a pleasure talking to you again, and congratulations on this book. I mean, to have a first novel out and have it turn out as well as it did. I mean, it's a great achievement. Continued good luck, Ray.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate this. I hope that anyone who reads An Act of Injustice will enjoy it and will learn from it.
Indeed. The website for more is rayargyle.com. The book is called An Act of Injustice. It's from Mosaic Press. Its author, Ray Argyle, joined me on the line from Kingston in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.